WBOI Presents In Session is a series where we'll hear from teachers, educators, and experts on all sorts of topics, sharing their lessons in the WBOI studios. As part of our commitment to lifelong learning, In Session gives us an opportunity to partner with those who have something to teach us. During this episode, we'll hear from Art Herbig from Purdue University Fort Wayne on the topic of film. Thank you for listening. Welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. In Session has been around since this past February. When I first started interviewing teachers and professors, I knew one topic I wanted to hit would be film. As a college student, I took 4 film-related classes, 3 on production, 1 on film as an art form, and our first guest instructor brings a passion for film into the work that he does every day. I'm joined in the studio now by Art Herbig, Associate Professor of Media Production at Purdue Fort Wayne. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you wear many hats. We'll start getting into the intricacies of some of your headwear in a moment, but let's open with some recent work from your students that perhaps many listeners have already seen. Let's take a listen.
I know a place that you can call your own that you'll enjoy once you get off your phone.
Where history is truly being made.
They even have a promenade.
And then the trail.
Pavilion.
And playground are yours.
An amphitheater.
That's a theater outdoors.
See shows that make you stand and applaud.
And stroll through the promenade.
Bring all the youngins, no matter how small.
And dance as if nobody's watching at all.
Come join us there, and we'll have a ball. We'll meet you at the promenade.
It's promenade.
Nade.
It's pronounced promenade.
No, it's pronounced promenade. Know what would make this dance number even better?
Maracas.
More people. Join us at the Midwest's newest attraction, Riverfront Fort Wayne's Promenade Park.
Come on by and see what's new. The way to pronounce it
is all up to you.
There's just so much to see and to do. We'll meet you at Promenade.
I typed Promenade Park Fort Wayne into a YouTube search, and the song and dance number was the third one down. I'm probably not the only person who saw this video and others pop up in my social media feed before Promenade Park opened. But when I saw them, I did not realize I was watching work from your students. They did an amazing job.
It's actually a really great story. That's a project that came out of Punch Films, and Derek Devine at Punch came up with an amazing concept for that commercial, one that was a lot of fun and a great way to introduce the park to the local community. And as part of Punch Films now, a number of my former students are employed there, and my current students actually were helping to PA the event and to do all the things, and we've had a really great partnership with them, and I'm really actually kind of fortunate to have made that friendship. I consider Derek a good friend, and we're very lucky to have the opportunity to be part of projects like that. Because I think having those chances is good for students, but it's also good for the local community. To pair those things, to have Punch working for something for the city and have my students get to be there was a tremendous opportunity for them and for us to help out with.
And that idea of collaboration really does get to the heart of the work you do with your students. I won't steal your thunder. I'll let you mention the name of the organization you have with your students at Purdue Fort Wayne. That inherently leads to a lot of working with other organizations.
About a year ago now, gosh, it seems like it was so long and not so long ago that this started, but about a year ago now, we started what we're calling on campus the Center for Collaborative Media. And when we started, it really was a chance to begin to respond to community need. As the film professor over at Purdue Fort Wayne, I get a lot of those requests from the local community. Hey, can you have a student do this or can you have a student do that? And I was always hesitant to respond to those requests because this kind of work doesn't come free. It's not something that a student can just do on their free time. It's not a class project. It's not something that is built into their education. But we need to find a way to work with the community. We need to find a way to field these types of requests. And so we started the center in hopes that we could find a way to do it so that it was best for everyone, so that if a community partner could come to us. You know, this past summer, we worked with the Riverfront trying to help them build some marketing campaigns for the new Promenade Park. You know, it was a tremendous success. Our students did some wonderful things. There was another ad that was entirely student done, which was like a suit up ad of the mayor. And it was funny and well done, and the students have these now chances to work with the local community in meaningful ways, and that's key to me. In the end, all of these types of things have to be to the benefit of everyone involved.
This is WBOI Presents In Session. Our guest instructor is Art Herbig, and this episode is Film Lesson 1. this might be kind of an obvious question seeing as you're a professor, but what are some of the most important things you want students who take courses from you to know about film when they reach the end of any given semester? Just what are some of the major bullet points you try to hit if someone is learning film from you?
The skills with the camera, the skills with the microphones, the skills with the lights, those things are pretty teachable. They're pretty easy to glean. It's the skills that exist outside of the hands-on things, the critical thinking, telling stories. Those things are a lot more difficult to grasp, particularly because I always joke with students who come to me in an intro class. They're like English students who don't know how to use verbs. You come in and the first time you get your hands on a lighting kit, you've never really thought about the ways in which light can impact the image that you're creating and the story you're telling and all of those kinds of things. And so if there are two things kind of I want students to walk away with, one is that, you know, we're in a storytelling medium and those stories are important. They are what you have to say. It's a reason we teach them in a comm department. And the other thing is that I want students to walk away with, this is a collaborative venture. We have a Center for Collaborative Media. I try to emphasize the idea that when the credits roll, you never just see one name. We're all having to work together and we're all having to build things. And so if you can find a skill that you think is particular to you, I really want to work with a lighting kit, or I really think that working with the audio is important, or it allows you to become a member of a team in a meaningful way. And even in our work where we're working with a local community partner or somebody like Punch Films, who's been a great partner, these opportunities are work with opportunities. They're not necessarily work for opportunities. And even if you go out and start your own production company and get a client, you still have to work with that client. The idea that we are shaping communicative messages and we are doing it as a we, both those things are really resonant and really important to me. And I think that if you can, as a student, pull those things away, you'd be surprised how much easier it is to learn lighting.
Or perhaps to learn post-production audio, thinking back to my own experience. What drew you to film as an art form, as a medium for storytelling? I think many people have a favorite movie, a favorite director, or they can point to a moment where they realized, okay, this is where the trajectory started. This is what led me to the work I'm doing in film today. I want to make films. I want to teach others how to make films. How did this process start for you?
It's funny to think back on it now because I really never wanted to be a filmmaker. You know, I have a number of very good friends who wanted to be filmmakers their entire lives and are now. And they're wonderful people and they do wonderful work. I went and got a PhD in rhetoric. One of the things that happen along that path is as you're studying communication, studying rhetoric, you begin to understand the influence media can have. I wanted to reach out to audiences that didn't read academic journals with my scholarship, having learned skills with the camera and learned skills with microphones, and went, oh, wait, this is just another way in which I can reach out to audiences and talk to them about the things that are important to me. I don't know if there was ever, you know, kind of a light on moment as much as there was sitting in my graduate program, looking at the academic journals and the academic books we're reading and going, it's wonderful that I have access to these ideas, but I don't know if my dad does. I don't know if my mom does. I don't know if my brother does. I started thinking about ways in which to reach out beyond what would be a traditional scholarly audience. So when we did our big documentary production we did a couple of years ago, we went and shot at Ground Zero for the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Never Forget is a very powerful sort of invocation, and it would be an extraordinary thing in the history of humankind if we were able to learn more from these historical events.
I mean, everyone says it is one of the biggest tragedy or the biggest tragedy that ever hit America, you know? Can't say anything more than Never Forget, and that sounds like, you know, I'm sure people get tired of hearing that, but what else can you really say?
If we start doing this Never Forget, Never Forgive, all of that, then we're one of them.
From day one, I felt like, well, okay, Never Forget, that's very nice. What are you going to do, walk around saying Never Forget, Never Forget? No.
I always joked with people when we screened that film, we screened it in film festivals around, that I was giving them what looked like a movie about 9/11, but really what I was giving them was a movie about public memory. And it was because when I was in grad school, I had come across this notion of public memory as another way to talk about history, that history isn't a fixed past, it's a something we're invoking in the present. I was like, well, how do I take this and turn it into something more packaged for an audience that would watch the History Channel or would watch a documentary about the past? In working with my colleague Aaron Hess and my colleague Alex Watson, we came to an idea that if we found a moment or a thing that was history in process, the way 9/11 still is, even these years later, we still really don't have a clear sense of what 9/11 will mean to us as an event, as a country. And so if we go to Ground Zero, go talk to people, one of the things we were going to get was that sense of, what does this mean? And, you know, it was with these great moments where we would talk to people and we would ask them, okay, well, how should we remember 9/11? And we interviewed nearly 70 people. To a person, the answer always started with, huh. And it's that moment of trying to grapple with how should we remember this event? How should it become part of our history? That moment was incredibly important to understanding public memory and process. You know, we're creating it. We're doing the process of trying to build what it is in the present. And so this was a big thought idea that I got out of reading books and going to grad school. And I was trying to find a way. I would joke with the scholars that we interviewed for that project. The final question I would always ask them is, so the only person I can be certain is ever going to watch one of my movies is my mom. So how would you explain public memory to my mom? That was kind of the way in which to try and bridge the divide between what academics speak and talking to people who were non-academics.
As a producer, that's definitely something I can appreciate, that you're going to maybe come into an art form or a medium not because of what it's saying to you or having this specific moment of being drawn in, but realizing how it works and how it can help you bring a message to an audience and just all of the different possibilities that presents. It's just a real cool way to come into it. I feel like NPR listeners have an interesting take on film just because I know so many programs will focus on cinema, art house or otherwise. And this year you have taken on more responsibilities at Cinema Center. What plans are in the works while you are guiding the ship?
The idea that I'm in, and I am currently interim executive director at Cinema Center, the idea was that Cinema Center is a way to reach out to the community in terms of showing and screening and talking about content. Cinema Center, in its ideal, should be the place where movie nerds go talk about movies. It isn't enough just to show films. It has to be a place that celebrates film. A lot of people don't know that Cinema Center isn't just a movie theater. It is an arts organization, and it's a nonprofit designed to bring things to this community that otherwise would not be here. In the same way that, you know, you go to an art museum or you go to the ballet or you go to the symphony, you should come to Cinema Center looking to experience something that you wouldn't get at another kind of theater. The opportunity to be part of that mission was really exciting to me. It was the opportunity to try to find ways to connect with audiences. I got here at the good timing of ramping up for Hobnobbin, which really is the kind of crown jewel of the year for Cinema Center, largely because it is an opportunity to pull in local people and connect them with filmmakers who don't necessarily always get the big distribution contracts that a lot of films get. And so you get access to seeing people experiment with things. There are all kinds of different ways and avenues into this as a storytelling medium. And we have the opportunity to be the ambassador for that. This year, we have chosen to kind of widen out the scope of Hobnobbin. So, I mean, we have preview parties, for instance, on September 21st, we'll be at the Brass Rail. On the 28th, we'll be showing one of the films at Cinema Center. We've also got an event October 5th at Hop River. And so we're also trying to broaden out the scope of the event so that we get more people at least aware of what we're doing. It seems weird that someone would take on a volunteer executive director kind of position, but for me, this is just folded into my passion for all of this. And so this is just another opportunity to find ways to connect with people outside the university and have meaningful conversations about the role that cinema can play in our lives. And I would be disappointed as executive director if I ever went to a screening and people were walking out talking about something else. It's okay if you don't like the film. We are not in the business of putting a big glossy shine on everything we show. It's the greatest film ever. No, you know what? Sometimes you're not going to like the film. Why? Why don't you like the film? Talk about it. Let's find out, you know, what is, you know, you don't like the cinematography, you don't like the story. Let's have a conversation about it. And I think that everyone that comes to Cinema Center should have that experience of, you know, maybe you didn't like the film. Great. Why not? Let's talk about it. The goal is, yeah, to bring in films everybody loves and wants to see, but sometimes they're going to challenge you. Sometimes they're going to ask you to think about things differently. Sometimes they're going to make you think differently about something. Sometimes they're going to frustrate the heck out of you. All of those things are perfectly valid reactions to cinema that we want you to have. We want it to inspire and evoke conversation and discourse. When movies are at their best, that's what they do. We're really lucky as a community to have a nonprofit theater like Cinema Center. Not a lot of communities have that kind of opportunity and that kind of space. Hobnobbin is a celebration of that space in really kind of important ways. To be able to bring truly independent film to theaters and screens that allow us to engage with them and have conversation about them, I am very fortunate to get to be affiliated with this organization. I'm hoping that we as a community can have these opportunities and celebrate them, because coming to Hobnobbin is a way to have an experience with others that you would not have otherwise. They're community opportunities. They should be chances for us to gather and have conversations and have experiences that we wouldn't otherwise have.
Art already gave you the other dates. The Hobnobbin Film Festival itself is October 11th through October 13th, Friday to Sunday. Art Herbig, thank you so much for being a guest instructor and sharing your knowledge with WBOI listeners.
Thank you very much. This is wonderful, and I'm glad you're doing this.
Thank you for listening to WBOI Presents In Session. Find more episodes of WBOI Presents In Session at WBOI.org. While you're there, you can find the very latest from the WBOI news team and stay up to date on content we produce year-round. Our theme music is by Noah Campodonico. Our sound effects are by John Dawkins. Our web producer is Loyal Vandenberg. Additional audio comes from Art Herbig. Thank you for listening.